Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Smirk.
Big Brr.
Jay Productions.
On the way, get some back from me, shit. Yeah, I get this shit in blood, huh?
Bitch, I got my own fight, don't need security in the club. All they wolfing on the neck, nigga, I thought you was a thug. I ain't got nowhere to go, I shot up everywhere they would. Yeah, you know who took this shit from you, come get it back in blood. Bitch, come get it back in blood. We ain't mask up, no Dodger X, niggas know who it was. It's doing shit just like the 80s, want some back, get it in blood. Yeah, you know who took that shit from you, come get it back in blood. If your nigga killer ain't dead, you sure wear no RIP shirt. We had 300 shots up in the car before we picked up dirt. Niggas who ain't got shit going, go grab a glizzy, get alert. Shots to G-Post RIP, and the reason he in the dirt. Gotta know I go too far. Get two O's up on this honey. One of them might stand for old block. About 20 some shots left up in the K. 15 still in the Glock. Keep my door unlocked and stop. I like getting on feet, park the car. We get up close, doing dirty, I ain't showing love. 11,000 all ones, left my right pocket in the club. Two faces up on me dirty, I went got it out the mud. If I took some, get it in blood. I don't give a fuck where we was. Bitch, I got my own. If I don't need security in the club. All they wolfing on the neck, nigga. I thought you was a thug. I ain't got nowhere to go, I shot up everywhere they would. Yeah, you know who took this shit from you, come get it back in blood. Bitch, come get it back in blood. We ain't mask up, no Dodger, niggas know who it was. It's doing shit just like the 80s, want some back, get it in blood. Yeah, you know who took this shit from you, come get it back in blood.
Killed your man, you keep on talking, better get that shit in blood. Get my shorty, them a dub, then they gon' walk inside the club. Hit his little ass with that switch, I bet that switch switch up his nerve. Fuck the odds inside my city, little bro, put them in the mud. You can't come back to your hood, huh? He was dissing on my cousin, now his ass all in that wood, huh? Book his ass, I wish he would come. V-Roy pop up out that car with that new Glock, I wish he would run. Hit that plan, bitch, I'm really icy. Really icy.
Who's icy, that's my dog. But boo, you know I'm really shy,
my nigga. You told all them OT niggas that you really sly. Tell the truth about your game, bitch, they really dying, gang.
Bitch, I got my own fight, don't need security in the club. All they wolfing on the neck, nigga, I thought you was a thug. I ain't got nowhere to go, I shot up everywhere they would. Yeah, you know who took this shit from you, come get it back in blood. Bitch, come get it back in blood. We ain't mask up, no Dodger X, niggas know who it was. It's doing shit just like the 80s, want some back, get it in blood. Yeah, you know who took this shit from you, come get it back in blood.
Bitch, brr, come get it back in blood.
Well, welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Chris Michael Ward, and that tune, Back in Blood by Pooch Shiesty. You know, some people might be offended, but you know, it's selling. So, you know, I gotta support everybody, let them do their thing. But it is what it is. We can't be, you know, we can't be discriminating against, you know. But I first want to say hello to all my listeners north to south and east to west and everyone in those 37 countries around the world. I thank y'all for tuning in, but I got to do a recount because there's probably more by now. And I also want to ask my co-host to say hello before I bring in my special guest. How you doing, Fred?
Hello. I'm doing good. How are you, Terry?
I'm hanging in there. I'm trying to not get it back in blood. That part of the song, it had me want to laugh, though, you know. You know how you hear stuff and it sticks in your head, you know. I'd be saying, get it back in blood.
Yeah, I love it, It's a good lyric.
But we got a wonderful guest tonight. Her name is Keisha Stewart, and she's an author, an entrepreneur, and a minister. So the story is about just being beautiful, you know, because she wrote a book called I Am Beautiful. And the thing is, as a child, she was being bullied, you know, and a lot of us was. I was bullied, too. But it took us to become adults to realize back then those other kids like us, some were just not being critiqued at home to teach their children how to act when you go to school, because it's not fair for someone to go to school and be bullied. And now as we look at the news right there in Nashville, Tennessee, kids go to school and don't make it home. So it's a very important story that we're going to share from Keisha tonight about I Am Beautiful, because we all are. And maybe it had that transgender person who killed those people, maybe if she had felt beautiful, this wouldn't have went this far. But all that being said, I want to wish my guest a warm welcome, Keisha Stewart. How are you, darling?
I'm doing well. How are you all tonight?
We doing good, baby. You know,
that's good.
I'm surprised. You know, as a child, you didn't think you was beautiful, because you are. You know. And, you know, all of us, I don't care who we are, we're like candy in a Valentine box. You don't know if you're going to get coconut, cherry cream, this or that, you know, but it's all good, you know. And that's what I like about people, that we're different, because if we was all the same, I would be like, you know, seeing the same thing. So I like things being different.
Yes,
but,
ma'am.
You know, yeah, but you tell us about your story. When did the bullying start, you know?
Well, my story started as a child. I was a little small, little petite little thing. I was dark.
Oh, was girl back then? Oh, okay.
Yeah. petite and dark, and you know,
mm-hmm.
that was me. And it started, I would probably say, in elementary school after my mom moved us from Georgetown County to Horry County. And you know, that's when it all started, when I went to a new school. You know, you go to a new school, you're new, you don't know anybody, nobody doesn't know you, so that's when it started for me.
Yeah,
that's when it started for me. I was picked on by one person in particular, and it was a girl, and she terrorized me, and she made me feel, you know, really bad about myself as a African American little girl. And back then, you know, we didn't know the proper word of African American. We were just black. So that's what I was to her, black and skinny, and I wore glasses. And you know, back then we had those big glasses.
Oh my God, with the Coke bottle rims. Oh Lord.
Yeah, those big glasses. So that was me. And that's when it started. She just picked on me and picked on me and picked on me. And, you know, I took it. You know, I didn't say anything because I was afraid and because I was new and I didn't really have any friends.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it all started for me, being picked on in elementary school. And, you know, the sad part is that kind of went with me for a long time, even as an adult. I didn't feel because of what happened as a child. I always thought that I wasn't pretty. I was not cute. You know, that's how I felt about myself for a long time.
Well, I'm so glad you got out that bad habit. You know, but you know, you're absolutely right. Words hurt, and they stay with you for a long time. because I was bullied, you know, because my mom, she would make sure when we wear our clothes, our pants, our shirts on the inside of our pants and everything nice and neat. But I hated that because it made my butt that is round stick out. And the guy was calling me basketball butt. And I was so embarrassed, and I would try to pull my shirt out to hide it. You know, and then I get home and get in trouble because I'm coming home with my clothes all pulled out, and she thinking that I'm being disrespectful. So, oh, I knew it hurt. Because back then, I didn't know that I had what could bring the milkshake to the yard. Baby, I didn't know that. I had to get older to find that out. Woo!
That's what it takes for you to get older to finally realize. I think I started really getting past that when I got, like, in high school.
Mm-hmm.
When I got to high school, it was better for me. And I started having a little more self-confidence when I got in high school. So
that's when it comes. Probably wearing makeup, because you know how when we was young, everybody had their girlfriends helping them perm their hair. We know what we was doing, had to relax in our hair too long, breaking our hair out, but we thought we was cute because we had that white people hair. It was laid out all flat, wet, it still be good, you know? And I thought I was pretty as I got in high school because of those kind of things. I had that good hair. You know, I wasn't born with that good hair.
Yeah, well, it turned around for me then because I started dressing. You know, I was dressing like the in crowd, per se, as you would say, the in crowd. I had my look. Well, back then I had a Jerry curl, so I used to rock that Jerry curl.
Girl, everybody did. Shoot, it was like coming to a
yeah,
party.
So I used to rock my Jerry curl.
We went everywhere. Yeah, my mother gets pissed off. Because we sit down and, you know, put our head back. Hold your hand up because you leave the stains on the furniture from that
curls. That's what was in.
Yep, Jerry curls, classic curls, all kinds of curls. Yep. That was the thing. I'm going to let Chris ask you his question and tell me how Chris felt. When did you know after you asked the question from her? The second question I'm asking you, Chris, when did you know that you was beautiful? Because we're all beautiful in God's sight.
Okay, well, so you want me to ask her the question and then answer yours, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, my question to you, Keisha, is how did you handle – I was also bullied. How did you handle being bullied? Like, how did you respond and how did you cope with it?
I didn't handle it, to be honest with you, because I kept it to myself. I never told my mom. I never told anybody. I think the first time that I ever said anything was probably in private because I was, you know, I was talking to myself about it because I would talk to myself. I don't know why this girl keep messing with me. I wish she would leave me alone. And my older sister overheard me talking. She was coming home, and she overheard me talking, and she came in the house and said, "So who's bothering you? Why are you saying you wish this girl would leave you alone?" And I was probably about in maybe fifth grade then, fourth or fifth grade, and that's when my sister found out, my older sister found out, and then she told my mom about it. So I never said anything to anybody about it. I kept it to myself. I didn't say anything.
Wow.
I didn't deal with it because I didn't tell anybody.
Wow.
And I didn't know, you know, I would try to give her stuff for her to be nice to me. If you be nice to me, I'll give you some candy. Or I got this, you know, I would try to do things for her so she wouldn't pick on me.
Wow. Yeah.
So I never really dealt with it, you know, as a child, you know, back then. I didn't deal with it because I didn't say anything until my sister overheard me talking about it, and then that's when my mom found out about it.
Wow. Mm. Well, Chris, what did you think? He was beautiful.
Oh, Terry, you know, I think I'm beautiful. Well, to let Keisha know, I'm a gay guy. So I think I'm beautiful, like, if I'm on, like, a date or hanging out with a close friend. But I don't always think I'm beautiful. Like, I go through my self-loathing days, honestly. But whatever.
I think we all do, baby. I think we all do.
Yeah.
We all do.
You know, Keisha, I have a question for you. You said your older sister heard you talking. Now, my older sister, a year older, she went to the same schools. So when people would try to bully me and say they're going to beat me up at the school, first thing I would do is raise my hand and ask the teacher, can I go pee? And instead of me going to the bathroom, I went to my sister's classroom, and I'd be saying, pointing at myself, they're going to beat me up, you know. And my sister, she can fight. She hardcore, man. I ain't trying to get no bruises or scars in my body. And so what happened was when school was out, my sister was there, and I let her fight, and I ran my behind home because, you know, baby, you know. I ain't wondering why it's tearing off my shirt, because back then people were vicious. They would take your shirt off so your bra or breast would be exposed, and that'd be like a sign that everybody looking at. See, I tore her clothes off of her, you know, and thank God my sister was there. But wasn't your sister going to the same school?
Well, no, my sister was 10 years older than me.
Oh,
me and
okay.
my sister are 10 years apart.
Oh, okay.
So my sister was way, oh, yeah, she was like in high school when all of this was going on, and I was like in elementary school because we were 10 years apart in age. And then I had a
elementary school. Your parents was picking you up at the school then, right?
Say that one more time.
By you being in elementary school, your parents was picking you up at
the
school, right?
I rode
the
bus.
You catch the bus?
No, I caught the bus home, but we didn't ride the same bus.
Oh.
Yeah, me and the young lady didn't ride the same bus.
That's a blessing.
And that is a blessing.
A blessing. Okay, well, let me fast forward a little bit to currently, like right now. When did you have the epiphany that the book you chose to write, I Am Beautiful, what spurred that on? Because this has happened since elementary school. What happened in your adult life to say, well, I'm going to do this? Did you see someone else being bullied and you were trying to figure out, well, how can I help these other kids out here who's going through what I went through? What was the catalyst that made you decide, I'm going to write this book, I Am Beautiful?
I Am Beautiful came about after my divorce, when I was feeling down about myself and when I didn't feel beautiful.
Okay.
I was married. I went through a divorce. I was broken. I was hurt. I didn't feel beautiful. I didn't feel anything. I was kind of like numb for a while after my separation from my first husband. And I was at work one day, and I was just feeling down, and, you know, I was going through. You know, when you're going through, you think all kinds of stuff, but that's when the enemy comes in when you're going through and tries to really get to you. And so I was just feeling down and out that day. I was at work, and I was working at the time. I was working at a daycare center. I was a preschool teacher, and I just sat there, and I was like, you know, I was just feeling bad about myself, and I just started jotting words down, and I was like, okay, I can do something with this. And I can remember just writing how I was feeling, you know. I was feeling bullied. I was feeling laughed at. You know, I felt like people were laughing at me because I had been married, and now I'm divorced, and now I'm alone,
right.
And I felt some type of way about situations that were going on in my life. And I just started jotting these words down, and I was like, okay. And I went back to it again, and I kept writing, and I kept writing. And I can remember coming home from work, and I was like, I'm going to get this published. And I started then just looking for publishing companies. But this just going through hurt is what brought that book about for me, going through pain and hurt and not feeling beautiful, not feeling worthy, just feeling down and out.
Sounds good. It makes sense. It makes sense. Well, Chris, go ahead and ask your question, baby.
Okay, well, my next question, Keisha, is what is the best review that you've gotten from this book titled I'm Beautiful?
I think the best review was a review that I got on Amazon, actually, and it gave me a 5-star. They said it was very encouraging. It is a very good book to help build self-esteem in our children, and that's what
right.
I wanted. I wanted this book to help our children, not just African-American children, because
yeah.
all race, all children, all, you know,
right.
they go through bullying. So it's
yep.
not just about African-American children, but it's about it, all the children. And I was excited about that when I read that review. Very excited.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But you know, something that I have noticed is, like, you know, the people who are the bulliers seem like they have some insecurities, whether they're being beaten at home or they're taken advantage of. I think because they are pushed down at home is why they try to control someone else, because they're trying to regain some strength that is taken from them. Because most bulliers, if you talk to them after they got older or whatever, they had a lot of hidden issues that they were dealing with, and that's how they mm-hmm. worked it out in their mind, by tormenting someone else.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
But, you know, one thing, they taught me how to run fast. I was like, shoom, I was gone.
Yeah.
I was not the one to get bruises on my body.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when did you transition from being a writer to being a minister? Was you still married, or was after your divorce?
I'm on my second marriage, so I have been remarried. My first marriage, I was married for 12 years, and after that marriage is when I started I Am Beautiful. I didn't get it published for a while, though, but I mm-hmm. had already written it then, and I got remarried again in 2014, and after I got remarried again, that's when I had the call to the ministry after that. But
was anything specific that happened in your life that made you decide to go there? Because that's a big undertaking. You know, a person can have a whole lot of different jobs, but to be a person, a clergy, a minister, whatever, that's a big responsibility, because the Bible lets you know that if you're a minister or whatever, and if you mess up and your way of trying to help other people, then you're going to get punished worse because you know better. But you're still, mm-hmm. just like everybody else, you're still flawed, you know. You're just trying to be the best you can be, but that responsibility on your shoulder is so hard to deal with, you know, because my daughter's a minister, and thank God I just call myself an evangelist, you know, because I can't handle that, you know. Somebody else's soul salvation, but I try to direct them the right way, but... oh, my goodness, I don't want to be responsible for somebody slipping up or messing up, you know, because I didn't do something right. So oof, I worry about me first. I get you on the plane, put my own air mask on, and then I'll try to help you. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm not. Okay, so I'm an AME, and, you know, I don't know if you guys know.
African Methodist?
Methodist, yeah. So I'm a local deacon mm-hmm. at my church. So okay. I'm not really an itinerant elder, so I don't have like a church of my own. I'm just like an associate at my church.
Okay.
I just wanted to explain that. But as far as me, my calling, God called me to bring forth the word, and believe me, I ran from it. Oh, did I run? I was kidding. Mm-hmm. Why is he calling me? What, me? Little old me? And then that's when mm-hmm. me thinking back to things that happened to me in my life. He calling me, I'm messed up. I done been through this. I done been through that.
Exactly.
He called, you know, so I ran from my calling for a long time. And, you know, God is God, and he's going to keep after you until you do what he wants you to do. And let me tell you, he stayed on my back.
You understand why he called you. He called you because you went through those things, and that you'll be able to impart the wisdom because you've been there, you know. So that's why he called you, because you know what it's like, you know.
Well, Terry, it took me a long time to realize that. I'm telling you. And sometimes,
continue to pray for this right here, because prayer changes things. Pray for me, mm-hmm. and I'll pray for you, because I believe in the power of prayer.
That changes things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chris got another question or comment, you know, before we run out of time here.
Yeah. My last question for you, Keisha, is what is your favorite part about being a minister? And I find I want to ask all ministers this question because I think maybe all answers are different, but go ahead.
My favorite part about being is helping people. Just helping people. I never say no. They'll call me and say, Reverend Stewart, can you do such, such, such? Yes, I can do it. I love helping people in any way that I can. That's my big thing. And I like preaching too, but if you need my help, I'm there. So I would have to say helping and just helping people.
And that's what ministers are. You know, people might say minister, preacher, clergy. They're all servants. You know, pastors, you know, they all servants. They're just like a person who likes to work on cars, they're mechanics. You know, you're a minister, you like helping people, being of service. You know, and that's what that is.
Yeah.
But I love your spirit that, you know, you're trying to give back and help these babies understand that no matter what you go through, you know, you're always beautiful to your family. You know, you're beautiful in God's sight. You know, and if somebody's bullying you, please tell somebody. If you just got to tell the teacher or the person driving the school bus or the older person, tell somebody. Because I don't want to be like what I saw recently on 2020, how this guy killed himself because of what this girl kept baiting him to do, you know. And she on the phone, but she didn't get charged with murder, but she talked him into killing himself, you know. So that's hard, you know, the effect that a person can have on your mental.
Yeah.
So, darling, tell us how we can get that book of yours and how much that book costs.
So my books are on Amazon. I Am Beautiful is on Amazon. They're $14.99. You could also purchase from Unique Euphony Publishing Company in Columbus, Georgia. That is my publishing company. And they're $14.99 also on on that website. And you can get it on Amazon. And my other book was at I Love Me is my second book, and it is also on Amazon. And it is $14.99 also, and you can also purchase that one at Unique Euphony Publishing Company also in Columbus, Georgia.
I like the title, I Love Me. You got to love yourself before you love someone else. You got to start with yourself. But I want to thank everybody, you know, and thank you for being here on a Friday. But, Chris, what do we tell our guests when they come on the show?
We tell all our guests, Keisha, that you are family, meaning that you can come back for a part two, part three, part four, all the way to 100. No, I'm kidding.
All right.
Just give it a ring of ding ding, yeah. Last week he was cute. He was singing it. We are family. Well, anyway, y'all need to stay tuned for next week, because next week we're going to have Nancy Hartwell on here talk about human trafficking, you know, and people might not think it's happening in your neighborhood. You'd be surprised. The people who look normal, your neighbors, and people who are in a position that's helping the community, you know. So you might want to tune in for this show. If you miss it, go to the archives, you know, and it's going to be there. The next show is coming up. It's going to be about human trafficking, and I want to thank you, Keisha, for spending this Friday with us, and thank you, Chris, for being here, alert and ready to rock, you know, and you can give out a good night, Chris. I'm flipping it over to you, baby.
What'd you say?
You can give out good nights to our listeners. I'm flipping it over to you.
Okay. Good night, listeners. Thank you for listening. Help our numbers grow. Maybe syndication. We'd love that.
Hey. Hey. Take care, Keisha.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome, darling. And you take care. Like Chris said, you can always come back. Just give me a call.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right, have a good one. You too, Chris.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.